Before I start my paper, I would just like to acknowledge John Niemla and all his hard work for helping me develop this paper. I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
It's good to be here this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the gift of this day, the opportunity that we get to spend a complete day in your word, thinking about different passages that you have spoken to each one of us of how you would like us to live on this earth, and your plans for us. We ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that can understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, I want you to turn quickly to Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Actually, 15 and 16. Mark 16, 15 and 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Okay? So I know it's early in the morning, but we're going to have a test. Okay? We're going to have a test right now. Test. Okay. Get a piece of paper. Verse 16. He who believes. True or false? Is this to believe Jesus for eternal life or something else? True or false? He who believes. Okay? You got that one? Okay, I want you to know there's four questions. It's a grace seminar. It's a grace conference, so you only have to get 50%. Okay? So I take the pressure off you. Second question. And is baptized. Baptized into water, baptized into the Holy Spirit, baptized into something else. Multiple choice. Okay? Second question. Question three. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. True or false? Saved from lake of fire or not? True or false? Saved from lake or fire or not? Question four. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Condemned to what? True or false? Condemned to the lake of fire or not? Okay? Anybody need any other questions repeated? Number two. This is the only multiple choice. Number two. John's going to pass them out in a second. I didn't want them to get that. Thanks, John. Number two is multiple choice. And baptized into water by the Holy Spirit or something else? A, B, or C? Number one is true or false. He who believes, that's believes in what? In Jesus for eternal life or believes in something else? Or believes in Jesus for eternal life, true or false? Does he believe in Jesus for eternal life? True. Is it believing in something else? False. Okay, everybody got that? Okay, now we're going to start the paper. John, would you pass those out to everybody? I have an outline coming for you, and so I'm going to start now, though. While teaching a class of the Gospel of John in Ndola, Zambia, a pastor taught me a valuable lesson that he had learned in the Bible study I was teaching. These two words, speed kills. Speed kills. He likened the method of my Bible study that was slow and methodical to a highway sign that he had seen that was encouraging people to slow down so they could increase their reaction time and reduce the risk of having an accident or making a mistake. Likewise, the Bible student who reads God's word at a slower speed can increase his or her reaction time, allowing greater sensitivity to the context. This reduces the risk of misinterpreting the word or phrase that God is using. Unfortunately, thinking, I've been down this road before, often leads us to speed up. Yet as this pastor realized, thinking he knew the intent of a passage before slowing down to make sure that it matches the author's intended meaning, caused confusion and misinterpretation. This speed up metaphor supports the familiar saying, any text taken out of context is a pretext to someone's own agenda. Okay, let me repeat that. Any text taken out of context is a pretext to someone's own agenda. The speed kills metaphor magnifies even further when a reader makes any of three common mistakes. First, he believes the speaker is talking directly to him or her. Okay, that's mistake number one. The speaker is speaking directly to me, the reader. Okay, mistake number two, he accepts default meanings for common Bible words rather than slowing down and taking the time to discover the author's intended meaning for each word. And finally, he looks for a parallelomania. Okay? A parallelomania. Another passage in another book that he can grasp onto. Okay. Perhaps nowhere in Scripture do all these concerns coincide to a greater degree than in Mark 16, 15 through 18. Let me read that passage, the complete passage. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Misinterpretation of this passage have led to many tragedies affecting issues of life both physically and spiritually. Some pastors have required their flocks to be bitten by poisonous snakes or drink deadly poison as proof of true belief. Through the years, pastors have actually died from this practice. Others have used it to claim that water baptism is required for eternal life, citing, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Most are not sure what to do with the following phrase, and these signs will follow those who believe, that they will cast out demons, that they will speak in tongues, that they will take up serpents and drink poison without being hurt. Our consideration of proper hermeneutics will cover these three topics. First, the hermeneutical hand. Second, contextual key words of believe, baptized, and saved. And third, parallelomania. Okay, the hermeneutic hand. The first analysis uses the hermeneutic hand to define accurately the word you in a passage. Steve Lewis, when I was doing the Gospel of John, presented this hermeneutic hand to us. And I think this is one of the most beneficial things that you can take from this conference. It has four fingers and a thumb. So when we look at it, we ask ourselves, little finger, who is the original speaker? Ring finger, who are the original audience? Middle finger, who is the original writer? Pointer finger, who are the original readers? Thumb, how do I, as a 21st century reader, grasp this passage? Okay? Five fingers. What's this finger? Original speaker. Second finger? The hearers. Original hearers. Middle finger?
The writer.
Original writer. Pointer finger?
The reader.
First century readers. And the thumb? Modern reader, and how do I grasp this passage once I get this? This is going to keep us from going straight into application and actually doing interpretation first. Okay, so let's look at this. Using the hermeneutic hand properly will help the 21st century reader define the reference you and we and us. An example of the 21st century reader flaw for we and us is in John 1:14. and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. When I teach the Gospel of John, one of the questions I ask is, who is we and who is us? Most people say what? Believers. Yeah. Believers. I go, oh, really? You look really good for someone that's 2,000 years old because you dwelt with Jesus. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay, this is the importance of figuring out how to define the referent. Okay, now a referent can change. In John chapter 20, we see the word you. Jesus is talking to Thomas, and he says, you believe because you have seen. But two verses later, in John 20, 30, and 31, it says, Jesus did many miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. Who is the you there? The original reader or the 21st century reader. It can be either one, right? It's for that reader. So the you have to look in the context and see who is the you. Okay? Likewise, the hermeneutical hand enables determining the referent of them in Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? Now, who is them? Well, let's look at verses 9 through 11. Now, when he, Jesus, rose early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and he had been seen by her, they did not believe. Okay, she comes and tells them, he's gone. And they go, I don't believe it. Okay, I don't believe it. Okay, next one. 14a. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. Clearly, Jesus addressed his disciples here. The hermeneutical hand shows that the addressees were his disciples, not the readers of Mark. Okay, this is a problem. Most people look at this passage and go, he's talking to me. Modern readers must not assume a priori, that is, that this is not a generic commission that would be transferable to later generations of the church. Okay, so we have to understand that this is written to the, spoken to the 11. Okay, the next step will examine three commonly misunderstood biblical words. Believe, baptize, and saved. Of course, these three studies must all bear in mind that these verses address the disciples and not modern day readers. So we've cleared that up, that it's to the disciples and not modern day readers. Okay? One reader interpreting the passage without slowing down to examine each word might take Jesus to mean those who believe in Jesus for eternal life and are baptized with water will be saved from the lake of fire. Another reader might interpret that those who don't believe will be judged to the eternal lake of fire, the eternal lake of fire. The essential point is to believe in Jesus and get saved from hell. That's what most people think. The problem is that neither reader asked, believe in what? Believe in what? Both readers just assumed believe meant to believe in Jesus for eternal life. This is a fatal mistake. Okay, three passages enable the reader to understand the context of believe. 16:11, 16:13, and 14. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. We read that earlier. Okay, 16:13. And they, the two who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus, went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either when they described seeing the risen Christ. Last one, later he appeared to the 11 and sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. What did the disciples not believe in? The resurrection. It's not believing Jesus for eternal life. He's telling the 11, you didn't believe in that I resurrected. Even though I told you it was going to happen, even though others told you that it was going to happen, you did not believe it. And he rebukes the 11 for that. Okay, second key point, baptized. Three passages clearly clarify baptized. Mark 16:16, then we have 1:8, 3:9, and 10:38 and 39. Mark 1:8. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So we have two meanings of baptism here. What are they? Water and Holy Spirit. Okay, two of our choices on our quiz. This verse speaks of the two kinds, water and the Holy Spirit. Mark 3:9 is the second place where baptized is used in the book of Mark. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Okay, this verse speaks of water baptism. That's our the second verse. Third verse, Mark 10:38 and 39. They're asking Jesus if they can sit at his right hand and his left hand in heaven. And Jesus says, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized, you will be baptized. He's talking about suffering here. But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared. Okay? These verses refer to Jesus suffering on the cross as baptism. In addition, however, Jesus affirms that James and John, and by extension, the rest of the 11, would partake in Jesus' baptism of suffering. Their baptism would come as they were immersed in persecution, as they stood up for Christ. This is the baptism that he's talking about here. Although all three uses of baptized appear in Mark, water, Holy Spirit, and suffering, it appears that the most appropriate would be the baptism into suffering. This is the last one that is used, and it spoke directly to the 11, and they would be remembering this. Third word, the contextual use of saved in Mark. To understand the context of saved in the Gospel of Mark, the majority of uses refer to being saved from physical death, not from eternal damnation. Mark 3:4, 8:35, 10:26, 13:13, 13:20, 15:30, and 31 all speak of physical death. Likewise, Jesus refers in this very context to the potential of physical death of the 11 as they go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Normally, would not being cast into a pit filled with poisonous snakes or drinking poison result in physical death? However, certain signs will follow those 11. If they would believe in the resurrection of Christ and share in his suffering, that is, his baptism, they would be able to cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink anything deadly without being hurt, and heal the sick by laying hands on them. Though the Apostle Paul was not one of the 11 to whom Jesus said these words, he, like them, was an apostle. In Acts 28:3-5, he was delivered from the bite of a viper. Someone might object, saying, the apostles were not the only ones who spoke in tongues. It is true that non-apostles did speak with other tongues. However, God is free to do more than Jesus promised in Mark 16 and 17. He cannot do less than Jesus promised. The passage does not say that the only ones who would speak with new tongues would be the apostles. However, the argument, the other signs mentioned were restrictive, given only to those faithful apostles. This brings us to the final step of slowing down. The point, accurately associating a passage with other passages in other books, or better called parallelomania. Many have categorized Mark 16:15 through 18 as the Great Commission passage. Yes, this is a command for the 11 to preach the good news. Beyond that, it is an assurance of what the 11 can expect by believing Christ has arisen and proclaimed this truth. Those 11, baptized through suffering by preaching the gospel, can expect signs of God saving them through physical death in many different ways. Validation of this interpretation. Let's look at 16:19 through 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, who's them? The disciples, right? He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they, who's they? The disciples went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, the 11, and confirming the word through accompanying signs. What signs? Casting out demons, being able to drink poison, all the signs that he promised them earlier. Mark 16:19 says the Lord confirmed the apostles' word. An important aspect of this confirmation was through the signs that would accompany any apostle who believed what? Believed in Jesus for eternal life? No, believed in his, thank you, Pat, his resurrection. Believed in his resurrection and proclaimed it despite persecution. And we read in Acts, many of them proclaimed Jesus' resurrection in persecution. The purpose of the signs mentioned in Mark 16:17 through 18 was to confirm the apostles' message, not to confirm that someone possessed eternal life. Let me repeat that. The purpose of the signs mentioned in Mark 16:17 through 18 was to confirm the apostles' message, not to confirm someone believed in Jesus for eternal life. Through faith alone and Christ alone. Conclusion. Speed kills. Conclusion. Speed kills. When you read the Bible, slow down. Slow down before you take a passage out of context. Jesus spoke these words to 11 disciples who rejected the testimony of others and had seen the resurrected Christ. He did not speak these words to the readers of Mark. He did not speak these words to us. The 11 were men who needed to believe in Jesus' resurrection and proclaim it. They needed to believe in Jesus' resurrection and go proclaim it. Even though they would face persecution, they would be baptized as Jesus was baptized in suffering. If they did so, signs would accompany them. Some of those signs would protect and deliver the 11. Others would be how God would confirm their message. Slowing down as we read Scripture can deliver us, the 21st century reader, from interpreting errors. Thank you.
How about doing your questions here at the end? The four questions? Go over one last time.
Four questions. Okay, now, you don't have to confess here today because it's all great. First question. True or false? Believe in this passage is to believe in Jesus for eternal life. False. Good, good, good. Second question, multiple choice. Baptized into water, Holy Spirit, or something else? Something else. Suffering. Thank you, Gail. You're two for two. Others, I heard some others. I'm not going to call you out. Yes, she's a member of Crosspoint Community. Dix wants you to know that if you want to get at least 50 cents on these papers, attend his church.
See. Those of us who are zero for two.
Okay. Question number three, true or false? Saved means saved from lake of fire or something else? Something else, right? He's talking to these 11 and they're going to be saved from what? Poisonous snakes. Drinking poison. It's physical. Final one. And he who does not believe will be condemned. Condemned to what? Hell? Or something else? Nobody's confident here. Something else, right? They're not going to be condemned to being killed by the snakes or killed by something else. It's spoken to those 11. Those 11 already have eternal life. They've already believed in Jesus for eternal life. In John chapter 1 and John chapter 6, all different places we see in the first 3 years, they already believed that for eternal life. And when do you get eternal life? At the moment of belief. At the moment of belief. Thank you.